All right. The title of this session is called Explaining Timeline Reality. And I think you know some of it, and even the AI notes mention that. But we haven't got super deep into some of these things that I want to talk about. So, and again, I will, because I just threw this part together, be doing a lot of reading. All right, so as we continue, we still want to ascertain the full meaning of the beginning and the end, and that's what we've been after in this time period that we're at. We want to understand the beginning, and we want to understand the end. And there are many beginnings. There are many endings if you're looking through the Bible and stuff like that, and we'll address some of them. But in reality, there's only one beginning and one end that God's concerned with. drawing a chart again, but just making a timeline again. We always say, well, this is the beginning before time, creation starts here and all this, and then the end down here. And this is the way we think, but it is not the way God thinks. It is not the way God thinks. Or let's even put it on a greater basis. It's not the way God is in nature. Okay, He is much more than a train going by. You understand what I'm saying? Had 15 cars and had some of it had graffiti on it and all this kind of stuff. No, it's much more than that. So obviously I have three categories that we would be concerned with, and that would be, yes, the beginning and the end, but it would also be, where is my life on this timeline? Right? Where did I come in? Okay, so you wouldn't be back here in BC, and so we're going to just put you right here. And I'm going to make you happy. Okay, your eyeballs are like mine, but anyway. So, a timeline is important to us because that's where we live. That's where we live. And the purpose of the Spirit of God is to bring us to a place where we live in Christ, where we live in the pristine Son, ultimately. But we've made the statement that before time, God placed us in His Son, the pure Son, the pristine Son. But that when Jesus came to earth and He died on a cross, that we were also placed in His Son. And we've never fully explained all that, and I don't think we're going to get to it tonight. But we must explain that. We must explain that. All right. So turn with me, if you would, if you have your Bible, Isaiah 46, verse 10. And if you don't, I'm going to read it anyway, so don't worry about it. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. And some of you will really like this scripture. 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure, meaning He's going to perform that which He is in His heart. So, we tend to see or understand things based on a timeline. We start at a beginning in time and learn as we proceed forward. But because it is on a timeline, we do not know what will happen as time proceeds forward, right? For example, if my hand sticking out here and the end of my arm, if that's the future And I'm learning, you know, I'm going in that direction and I'm learning. Then I finally reach that, you know, well, my hand's still out. There's still another, you know, you're going to keep going. There's always more. And there's never enough time. Okay. So, I'll read that last sentence, but because it is on a timeline, we do not know what all will happen as time proceeds forward. We especially do not know the end. Now, you can read the book of Revelation and you can say, well, I know what the end is. Well, we're not talking about the end of you or the end of the devil or the end of his creation. We're talking about knowing the end. In fact, knowing the end from the beginning. Revelation 1:8 says this. This is Jesus speaking. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Notice the word says ending. Saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. All right. So this begins to take us out of our moment or our need or our timeline. This begins to bring us into one who was and who is and who is to come. And we begin to see things from the perspective of Him. And one of the greatest things about this sharing that we're doing, that we're into, that the Lord is sharing with us, is that we will, God willing, we will, even though we're on our own timeline on earth, we will live in the Son. And it'll be real. It won't be doctrine. It won't be religion. It will be a reality that changes everything, because we're no longer having to be forced. If our only alternative or only plan is timeline living, then you're subject to the clock. You're subject to the sun and the moon. You know what I mean? The movements and the rotation of the sun and the rotation of the earth and all of that, and it's clicking things right off just like that. Yes. And there's so much to know of the Lord that we feel like, you know, how do I catch up? I mean, in a certain sense, I've felt that a lot, but it's not about catching up then. Ultimately, it's about one thing. One person, and it's not Jesus of Nazareth. It is the pristine Son who became Jesus of Nazareth. Amen? Good. Praise the Lord. When y'all said amen and I saw that gusto, I just wanted to cry for a second. It's like, yes, yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. But God is different. He not only knows the end in advance, but He created and planned out the end regardless of what happens on the timeline. Regardless of what happens on the timeline. Yeah. And for Him, the beginning and the end are the same. They're the same. Now, if you're living on a timeline, you're probably scratching your head going, well, how can they be the same? Well, that's because this one, the beginning on a timeline is here, and then you leave that. So does that make sense, though, that you know, it's almost like we're always at the beginning of something trying to reach the end. All right. So, So when we read that Jesus said, I am Alpha, I am Omega, I'm the beginning and the ending. And in another place, he'll say the beginning and the end. Okay? And that's significant that now he's saying ending. And later he'll say end. Okay? That was in Revelation 1:8, right? You still there? Okay. Well, just a few verses down, verse 11, listen to this one. saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Well, you thought Jesus was the first, and then we all came along, and then da-da-da-da, and then the last one would be the last person to get saved, and then he'll wrap it up like a beautiful birthday present and with a bow and, you know, maybe even spray a little perfume on it to make it so sweet, you know. Oh, this was so sweet. If that in any form is really in our mind at this stage, I'm telling you that then we're missing the point. We're missing the point. We are still focusing on timeline realities, and it can't be there. It cannot be there. There's something that has superseded that before that even came into existence, and that reality brought this into reality, the timeline. So, the reason why I'm looking around is because I just jumped over into the part that I said I wasn't going to share tonight. So we'll get into it anyway. Well, you know, I mean, this is important stuff. So he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. But what is the Godhead seeing when it sees him? What is the Godhead seeing? They are seeing the end from the beginning. When he says, I'm Alpha and Omega, I was and is to come, I'm the first and the last, he's seeing the end, the end from the beginning, and the beginning from the end, because it's all of one with him. It's this one, the Son of God, the pristine Son. Okay, so, before there was any sort of beginning in heaven or on earth or creation, he was our beginning. Before there was any?
Praise God.
You say, well, how can that be? You were in his heart. You didn't exist in bodily form. It could be a little bit like a woman says, "Oh, I want to have a baby," and so she says to her husband, "Let's have a baby," and he says, "Okay." And so she's thinking about him, and now she's thinking, you know, is it a boy or a girl? And you know, I need to start gathering stuff, and you know, being prepared, and all this kind of stuff, and you know, well, that baby's already in her heart. You know what I'm saying? And greater than that, we were in his heart before the foundation of the world when he and his son made a plan that we would be in that son. Before sin, before creation, before anything that you would ever understand on a timeline, he put us in his pristine son. The son that didn't know sin, never saw sin, had never been around sin. And there, everything began. Okay. And there's other elements too that go along with that. But, okay. Before there was any sort of beginning in heaven or earth or creation, he was our beginning. If you happen to see him on a timeline, if you happen to see this Alpha and Omega on a timeline, I'll just draw a cross, but it's not two pieces of wood, is it? If you happen to see him on a timeline, he would be the first and the last, and we would merely be in him. If we were truly before in him, then if you saw him on a timeline, you would be him at any point in that timeline. You would be in him.
Hallelujah.
At any point. You are merely in him. Joined to him. One with him. Made one by, how's Ephesians put it? The one about love, the first couple of verses in chapter 1, the exceeding greatness of his loves toward us. It's pretty good. All right, so in other words, if we would merely be in him. In other words, we should not be looking for our relation with the Son on a timeline. But we tend to focus on when we got saved, events, where he helped us, etc. We don't see him as he is, but only in relationship to our lives on a timeline. And our life, you see yourself on a timeline where you want him to come help you. He sees yourself dead. And him being now your life. Okay. So, does that sound familiar in the scriptures at all to anybody? We don't see him as he is, but only in relationship to our lives. For example, I'm quoting now, I didn't mark the reference, but it's right there in Revelation. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Did you hear what that said? I mean, did you hear what it said? It made an incredible opening of being able to start seeing things in a different way, at least to see where we tend to go and where we can go after that. Can I read it again?
Yes.
Okay. And what thou seest, who's he talking to?
John.
Good. And what thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now let me read this. But since they are still living on a timeline, are they not? Since they're still living on a timeline, therefore he says, write what you see and put it in a book and send it. Okay, come on, wake up. John is seeing this. He's getting it directly from the Lord. He's getting it from Alpha and Omega, who's standing in front of him and saying, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I'm the ending. I'm the first. I'm the last. He is being overwhelmed with a reality that right there is my life. Right there is everything that counts. Right there. But then there's a breakdown. John sees it, but these other folks in these other cities on their timeline, they don't see it. They weren't there. So it says, or let's see. Because they were still living on a timeline, he says, write, put it in a book. Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Put it down on a timeline. And then send it. It will go out to people on a timeline and locations within the created earth. Yeah. We have to get this, folks. We have to realize that there is this plane, there is this place, there is this wonderful one who is our world of done. And we live in there and we leave our timeline. And I'm not saying die and don't, you know, whatever you're thinking. You have found your home. And it's a hymn. So it will go to people on a timeline in locations within the created earth, but they will not have seen him who is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Will they? They will not see him. They will get the message.
That's right.
They'll get the book. One will be in Thyatira and another in Sardis, and they'll talk. They'll email. And they'll talk about what they're reading and what they're seeing and how good things are. But they're not seeing him.
Yeah.
So, they would only have read about him in a book. This is important because they never saw what was central in God's eyes. What was before time. You know why we miss it? We're too busy looking for us on the timeline. We're trying to figure out, you know, well, I'll never forget the day I got the book. And then, so there we are, you know, and we hearken back or we look forward or whatever, and we don't realize that John saw the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, the last, the beginning and the ending. He's seen this is it.
Hallelujah.
And he writes it all down. Here, read it. But they don't see it. There must be a seeing. There has to be a seeing. All right. So this is Revelation still chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. Revelation 1, 13 through 17. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool. Thank you very much. Well, it's not really curly like. White as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet likened unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Anybody get chills on that one?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He is, John is there and he's on the timeline and he comes across Jesus and he comes across Jesus, where does it say that? The Son of Man. He comes across the Son of Man, right? And he sees wool, you know, hair, and he sees this and he sees that. But all of a sudden, he begins to, you know, he begins to realize what he did. And he says, and when I saw him, he hadn't seen him. He had seen what he was like externally on a timeline, but he had not seen him. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're thinking, here's what we're thinking. Well, I'm trying to be dead. You know what I mean? I'm reckoning myself dead. I reckon I am, but I reckon I ain't. You know? And working at it and wanting it and whatever. When the answer is so easy, it is when you see him who is not on a timeline and what he has already accomplished, then you're going to disappear. You're going to just be found in him. And you will be happy with it because it's him. It's who better to be in? Oh my goodness. And all that is him of his fullness, he's placed in his body. So, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. See, fear not, I'm the first and the last. And remember, the beginning and the end is of one. You'll know one from the other. Remember that he is the fullness, the length and the breadth and the height and the depth. I got into this area during the gathering, our last conference. Put it on the board. Showed, you know, length and breadth and height and depth that is related to him and not related to us in us, the us who lives on a timeline, the us who thinks in terms of a timeline, the us that thinks in terms of getting something, the us that thinks in terms of becoming something. All of those things are this guy on this timeline. You know, I'm going to wipe that smile off your face, buddy. Because this is no laughing matter in the sense that all of those things, and how do you comprehend that? You have to see him. You can read it in a book. You can hear it in a class. You can have, you know, from every external thing brought to your own town from somebody who's really seen God. And if you don't see it, you will always, without even knowing it, be coming from a timeline somewhere or another. That's why I said, if you saw Jesus on a timeline and you wanted to see yourself there, you would see yourself in him. See what I mean? But he's not on timeline, in timelines in that sense. You would see or know that you are in him, found in him, not having mine own. Okay, especially not having mine own righteousness. Oh, brother. Oh, my. I mean, there's areas we're going to get into. They're just amazing and fun and everything. But the whole thing about righteousness is not what we've made it. And I know, you know, I know. Well, brother, we got to be holy. How about holy in him? Different spelling there. How about that? Found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Well, brother, not having. Well, brother, you got to, not having. Is it not okay that he be all in all? That's what the scriptures say of him. Neither Greek nor Jew, bond nor free, male nor female, but Christ is all in all. Do you see why it would say that now? It's just taking a big eternal arm and wiping the timeline right out, and it's saying him. Before you were born, before that before you ever sinned, before all of that, he took you into himself. And I hope I'm not getting this chalk dust all over me, but anyway, he took you into himself, and he did it knowing that you might need it down the road when you got on a timeline.
Yeah.
How many of you need it? Amen. All right. So, Revelation 2, verse 1 through 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So this is the one who is there, whether you see him or not, and they're not seeing him. They're seeing, I'm from Laodicea. Did we get a copy of that book? Really, that's what they're saying, Didn't we get a copy of that book? And he's going, I was in the midst of all of you. I was in the middle. I was there. I am there. And you're still trying to get the book or trying to be one of the seven churches. Or to have something on a timeline that identifies you as special.
That's right.
How about being special because you're his? And you're in him. I mean, okay, just imagine if Jesus was this really good-looking guy. And you were single. And he came along. And he says, I want to make you mine. Yeah. And you were single and you went, I like this guy. And then he said, but I want to make you one with me. I want you to be found in my heart, in me. And the first discovery is, be found in my heart, knowing that as such, then, you will eternally be with me. Would you go, well, I don't know. I got to go to church. I got a class I got to make. You know what I mean? All right. Since they didn't see him, they can only hear him on a timeline, which he says unto them. The things that he says. So this is what they hear. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And thou, I'm adding the word thou because it's understood. I mean, and I'll explain that in just a second. And thou hast found them liars, and thou hast borne, and thou hast patience, and for my name's sake hast thou labored, and thou hast not fainted. This is, look at verse 2 again. I know thy. And the next little phrase, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are, and thou hast tried them. And is anybody getting what this is trying to communicate? Get off the timeline. Be found in him. Let him. This is hard for us because, but it's still true, and it's not really hard. It's hard for us. It's already done on his part. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to produce anything. You just have to believe. And we will have a whole section on belief and faith to see if this isn't true. So he's in the midst of them. He's in the middle of them, but they're there. And he's saying, well, I've seen thou, I've seen you, and I've seen you here, and I've seen you there, and I've seen this, and I've seen that. You go, oh, he's so wonderful. He sees me. Yeah. It's better to not be seen on the timeline and just to be found.
Yes.
So, I don't know why I'm painting these silly pictures tonight, but so, you know, you're up in heaven and God the Father's looking around and going, have you all seen, you know, have you seen Isaac Hunter? Where is he? Have you seen, you know, no, I haven't seen anybody. You seen him? Jesus comes walking up and the Father says, have you seen Isaac Hunter? And he goes, well, hadn't seen him, but he's found in me. He's right here. He's right here. And he will always be right here. And when you ever look for him ever again, whether it be angels or whoever, you can know where he's going to be found. Is that beautiful?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Oh my goodness. So, so it's still got a bunch of thous here. Thou hatest the Nicolaitans. Thou repent. There's just a lot of thous here because he's having to deal with us in a way that we'll never get it, even if the book is perfectly written, unless we see the Eternal One. Unless we understand beginning and end is not on a timeline. Unless we see that there's one Son that he cares about and he cares about us extremely in that Son. And we stop looking around for us. Well, where am I in all of this? Hopefully, nowhere except found. All right. So let's look at the end. Up to this point, while in the early verses of the book of Revelation, we have focused on the Son being the beginning, right? We've been talking a lot at the front end. Now let's examine the latter part and see the Son as the Alpha, as the Omega. We've seen him as the Alpha. Now we want to see him as the Omega, but still in the context of Alpha and Omega. Okay, so Revelation 21:6. So the Omega is, well, this will explain it. And he said unto me, it is done. Come on, people. We can get better now. Huh. He said it's done. He said it. It's done. I am Alpha and Omega. Okay? It's done because he's Alpha and Omega. Stop needing the timeline. The beginning and the end. Now, before, didn't he say that differently? He said the beginning and the ending. But now we're looking at the Omega. We're looking at the ending or the end. Not the ending, but the end. But we will see both of those. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I like free stuff. I do. Do you like free stuff? Okay. Here he adds something new that was said at the beginning of the book. And he said unto me, it is done. Do you get the message? He said, it is done. Okay. It is not religion. It is not a message. It's not, do you get the message? It's not one going to heaven. Instead, it is done. You say, well, the book of Revelation is the book of end times. Well, good, let it end you. It is done. All right? Also earlier, he described himself in Revelation 1:11 as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. So we want to see the difference between him being the end and the ending. All right? But now in chapter 21, at the end, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the end. The end of what? He is the end of the timeline. He's the end of the timeline.
Praise God.
Okay. There's more. But what are they seeing now? What are they seeing now? Because the seeing is very important in all of these things, of how you're perceiving him, how you, you know, because we see him in the midst of the churches and we go, well, he's, you know, this is him, this is Jesus, and we got him in the middle of our church. You're still on a timeline. You have to see how he is and who he is. All right, so, but what are they seeing now? Before, if they were seeing him in an eternal way at all, which they really weren't, they were still seeing him on a timeline that has an ending. An ending.
Yes.
An ending. There's an ending. You ever read a book that had an ending? There's almost, I mean, I'm not sure about this because it just came to me, but if there's a storybook and you're reading the story and then you read it at the very end and it wraps up what the whole book is about, you get there, well, then you've come to the end because there's no more reading. But at the very end, it wrapped it up and there's an ending. Yeah. The story had an ending, but the book was ended. All right, let's keep reading here. Looking at a pig, looking at a wristwatch, going, what is that thing? You're not a pig. That's not what I'm saying. You're dead. You're found in him. They are seeing the end from the beginning. Now he declares of himself not to be the ending of something, but the end. There's no timeline anymore. The ending implies a wrap up of something. The ending, ing, implies a wrap up of something. But by presenting himself as the end, there is no more trying to figure out how it will end. Because he's the end. You go, well, how's it? There's only him as the end. There's no more end because for now he is the sum of all things. He is the conclusion of all things made. He is the fullness that fills or fulfills all things. As the first and the last, as the beginning and the end, he now hearkens back and says in Revelation 21:6-7, to all who are beginning this trip, it is done. Again, this is now at the end. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. In other words, you haven't worked for a thing. You inherited it. All things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh my God, I got goosebumps again. That's Revelation 21, 6 through 7. So, you know, I know I went a little bit fast, but there is so much importance in being able to see him in this light, and in that light, there is no wrestling. There is no more ending. Well, this was an ending, but it's not the end. So I'm going to have to still, you know. And you begin to realize that, well, what about me? Or, you know, I'm not doing so good, or I'm not going to get this, or whatever. One of the beauties of this covenant, this new covenant that he made with us, was that he said, I will put this in you. He didn't say, study. You say, well, this is a Bible school. I mean, shouldn't we study? Well, how about just read and then say, open my eyes to the beginning and the end, and or open my eyes to the beginning and the ending.
Yes.
So this would be a good class to get a copy of and just listen to over and over several times, because it would be real easy to listen to a class and go, okay, I got some things there, and to assume that you got something, which would put you on a timeline, by the way. But to see him as this, there is this whole thing of, well, I gotta get this, and this whole striving, and this whole fear, and this whole condemnation that we carry around with us is not going to be there, because you are in him and it is done. And the whole, you know, we're going to be going for a long time on Thursday nights on these lessons. So, and you should thank the Lord, because he switched my lesson and told me to go ahead and do this, because maybe you needed to hear it, that it is, you know, that some of the questions that we might have rolling around in our head really are only timeline questions. Father, we love you. We thank you for your son who, through you, Father, through you who placed us in your son before the foundation of the world. And then now on the timeline, you've decided to move upon our hearts to open our eyes more to not the timeline, but the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, the last, the length, the breadth, the height, depth, the fullness and the fulfillment of all things. To him be glory and glory world without end. And we thank you for that. The world of done without end. We thank you. Continue to move in the manner that you feel free and fit for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.